This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
High above the Milkpacking District, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A rock slide shuts down Highway 99. A man is robbed of his iPhones after he tries to place a Craigslist thingy. And a dog gets his head stuck in a wall.
Okay. As always, my friends, or perhaps less so today than other days, the following confluence of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, December 29th, 2010. A rock slide shut down Highway 99E just south of Oregon City. The slide started just before 3 a.m. today and continued to dump large rocks onto the road this morning. As of 6 a.m., there were about 50 cubic yards of rock that had fallen onto the highway.
What's a cubic? No, I'm sorry. Wrong joke.
Yeah. I got nothing for that. A team of specialists from ODOT has been called in to investigate. I'm not sure exactly what there is to investigate. They'll show up and go, yep. Rock slide.
There appears to be rock all over the road. This is your problem right here.
Good thing we called the rock slide, guys. Drivers will see detour signs guiding them around the area, but they're encouraged to avoid it entirely or anticipate delays throughout the day.
Let me understand this. You should avoid the area that's covered with rock.
Right.
The
highway that you can't drive through because there's 50 cubic yards of rocks on it.
Try not to do any through driving.
Yeah, maybe don't go there.
Okay.
Heading southbound, the highway is closed at South 2nd Street in Oregon City. Heading northbound, the highway is closed at Haines Road. All drivers from South End Road will be diverted to southbound Highway 99E, and there was no word when this was printed as to when the lanes would open.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, December 29th, 2010. Coming up later on this hour, your entertainment news, also your science on the march. If you want to get this program via your mobile device, you can do that. It's mobile.cascadia.fm. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. You can also get it as a direct MP3 download here or legionofnews.com and via iTunes as well. Here is Don Taylor.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
I just plugged my iPhone into my computer so that I could, like, charge it. And, of course, it fires up iTunes because it wants to sync up with iTunes.
No, you got to turn that function off.
Yeah, and so it does that. And I get this thing, and here's my question. I get this thing that says, some of the items in the iTunes library, including Excitable Boy, were not copied to the iPhone, Dawn's iPhone, because they could not be found. Why can't it find songs that are in my iTunes library?
Well, is the song actually there? Did you delete the source file? Like, is the MP3 still on the computer?
So if I had deleted the file accidentally or on purpose somewhere else, but it's still listed in the library, and then it goes, hey, Oh, no, it's
Well, it's
not
like
there.
If you have a shortcut in your desktop, but you delete the thing it goes to. The
okay.
shortcut's just going to go like, well, what do you want me to find? There's nothing here. What am I supposed to do? I got nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, for once, that's not the fault of iTunes, but I can understand your frustration because almost everything that iTunes does that is frustrating is, in fact, the fault of the program, not you.
And I also don't know why I wouldn't have Excitable Boy. Because I like that song.
And I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying if you somehow deleted or moved or renamed the file, iTunes in some ways is a little bit... iTunes is, of all of the products that Apple makes, iTunes is the most Windows-like. It is the most like a Microsoft product in that it's bloated, does stuff you don't want it to do. And the end result of all of that is just that you wish you could remove iTunes from the equation altogether and just drag things onto your iPhone like it was an external drive. Which you cannot. And that is the one very Microsoft trait that Apple has, is that program. But that's because they want to force you to use it as a portal for, like, everything.
Okay.
Also, by the way, you can disregard, I would say, 3 out of every 5 prompts that you must download an update for iTunes now. And it's 95 megs, and you have to do it immediately. iTunes has become this thing that you have to update, like, every other day with some massive data dump into your computer that will just tie things up for an hour.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'll keep that in mind.
You need to vent. You are listening to Legion of News. Thank you for joining us. The Rick Emerson radio program with more of this pithy wit comes up next hour, and unbridled hate, by the way. That is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. This is Don Taylor.
A Portland man told police that 2 men robbed him at gunpoint after he placed an ad on Craigslist to sell 3 iPhones. The victim told police he met the men near the Target store at Mall 205 in Southeast Portland the day after Christmas. He said the men told him they wanted to buy 2 of the phones. Police said the victim told them one man went to his car to make the purchase while another man stood outside.
One man.
The victim said he pulled out the phones, but when the man outside the car suddenly pulled a handgun, pointed it at him, and demanded the iPhones, he gave them
the
phones.
Just for if you're playing at home, gun beats iPhone.
Yeah. So he gave them the phones, and the 2 men fled. They always say fled, and that always makes me think that they just ran away full bore.
Sort of like a Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they have a gun. I don't imagine they would have had to have run very fast.
I think they just drove off in the car, most likely.
Probably.
Yeah.
The victim then called police and described the men, the gun, and the phones.
How did they call the police?
Well, he probably had another phone that wasn't the iPhones that he was selling.
Why didn't they just steal his... Oh, goddamn, people are stupid. If you've got a gun and you're robbing a guy who has a phone, and by the way, you're there to rob him of phones...
Take all the phones.
Just take the one that he's got that he's going to use to call the cops on you like 10 seconds after you flee.
Take his wallet while you're at it. Take anything he's got that's of value.
That's the other
take
thing.
His car keys.
Because you've stolen, and not that we're telling you to steal cars. We are telling you to steal cars.
You're already committing a crime.
You are pot committed.
In for a penny, in for a pound,
that's right.
I say.
That's the whole thing. It's like, don't give it half loaves here. I mean, especially if you're stealing 3 iPhones. I mean, even if they're old. That's like... That's $1,500 worth of stuff. You're approaching grand larceny anyway.
And you're doing it with a gun. And so if you commit a crime like that with a gun, that's a felony. So now, just take everything.
There's no sense of logic in this world anymore.
No. Police said they spotted a man matching the thief's description coming out of a restroom at a nearby Burger King. When officers tried to stop the man, he ran. They finally caught up to him, who they identified as 18-year-old Xavier Thiel. They said they found the iPhones on him and a gun in the Burger King restroom.
Okay.
So he dumped the gun in the Burger King. The gun is probably worth as much, if not more, than the iPhones.
You know, here's the thing. Doesn't it seem to you, it's that thing of like how we pay farmers not to grow wheat. Doesn't it seem like you and I ought to be able to call the government or the cops or something and just demand that they start paying us for not being criminals? Because you and I, right? I mean, just one story into the Crime Watch today, and we already know that you and I would function better on the felonious side of the law than like 90% of the guys who currently do that as a living. Because just a cursory glance, an overview of the facts, and we've already figured out how we could have committed that crime more efficiently, gotten away with more, and probably evaded capture longer, if not altogether. So it seems like the government ought to just pay me to sit at home and not rob folks.
Or we could hire ourselves out as crime consultants, and we would tell people that we are not suggesting that they commit crimes, but if they were, theoretically, this would be the best way to do it.
Well, but we would never.
But
see,
then we would have a disclaimer where we would say, but now we are officially telling you don't commit that crime.
No, but we wouldn't even do that. You just position it as a more interesting or compelling way to educate people on how to avoid being the victims of crime.
Yes,
that's exactly how you get away with that. That's the scam. I didn't call it a scam just now. I meant scam as in
scheme. Scheme is a plan, business model.
It's short for the Latin Scaminius, who was a teacher in on the island of Platos.
Come on, Chaka, let's work on our mission statement.
Got nothing.
Frustration is growing among air travelers at airports due to the winter storm. At New York's JFK Airport, passengers spent 11 hours stuck on the tarmac. Kate Haney with FlyersRights.org says a passenger's Bill of Rights, which she herself is personally involved with, and her hotline and the callers and her busy, busy, busy organization that is probably just her at her kitchen table. The passenger's Bill of Rights, which passed in April, does not apply because this was an international flight. So she offers these tips for passengers.
Buying travel insurance, packing appropriately in case they are stuck on the tarmac or inside an airport, and by also looking for alternative forms of transportation. And in the event of a giant storm like this, cancel your flight, get reaccommodated, plan it for another time.
So here's the thing about this is you can tell just by the nature of the audio.
Buying travel insurance, packing appropriately.
This sounds like it was just pulled directly from some YouTube video that she recorded, you know, where you've got like the hand car. Geese in the background holding up her paper towel dispenser, because this doesn't sound like a phone. This doesn't sound, I mean, I guess it's theoretically possible this is like a Skype call, but this seems like she just pointed her Android at herself while she was sitting at the, as you said, in her breakfast nook and recorded this and stuck it online, and they needed some sound.
And then sent out the link in her press release, which made it into the news.
With a hastily cobbled together, like, what did she call herself?
FlyersRights.org.
All right.
Also, I speak to them in this tone of voice, and they will do anything and give me anything I want to make me go away.
Somebody, by the way, notes that we should be careful with the paying us not to be criminals thing, because the government does count jail as free room and board. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Hey, you know, with the economy going the way it is, that could be an attractive option at some point.
I'm going to FlyersRights.org, by the way, just to see if there's a photo of her.
She says passengers really have little recourse.
Airlines since September 11th have eliminated most of the things that they had in their contract that protected passengers during weather events. Those are gone now, and a lot of passengers aren't aware that they're gone.
Let me ask you this. How do you spell Flyers Rights?
FlyersRights .org.
Now, is that not an incorrect way to spell Flyers? Isn't Flyers FlyersRights?
I don't know.
I'm almost certain that Flyers is spelled F-L-I-E-R-S, but I could be wrong about that.
No.
All right. Because, by the way, because I typed in
that
Flyers.
That was probably already taken by some actual reputable organization. You
know, well, now, we're not saying, of course, that Trilby, whatever her name is, isn't reputable. I'm just saying that I went to FlyersList.org as I understood it to be spelled. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that this is a gay man who came up on the screen here, but I am going to say that there's an extremely stylish look. He looks not unlike Peter Krause. In the sort of, you know, his Sports Night era. And the name of the website is Jetiquette, which is presumably airline etiquette. Jetiquette with the Sky Steward. And it's just, I believe it is a stylish, well-groomed young man who has lots of tips about how you should behave and how to make the most of your flying experience.
I think I know who that guy is because I printed some of his tips when I was writing web copy for a travel site.
All right. I'm at FlyersRights.org. By the way, this woman looks exactly like she sounds. Let's see if I can just get the...
Buying travel insurance, packing appropriately in case they are stuck on the tarmac or...
Like if Randy Rhodes had a less talented, slightly more attractive cousin.
Oh, yeah. I see her. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, and... Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to...
She's sort of unpleasant.
By the way, I like how at the bottom of the page, there's just a picture of an old guy screaming. Just a picture of an old guy going, "Why I never! In my 75 years on Earth, I have never been treated so disrespectfully, sir. This is an outrage."
By the way, I just did a search for her.
Yeah.
And the site, the story I came up with was about her recalling herself. She's a woman behind the Airline Passenger Bill of Rights movement. And that apparently she sued Delta Airlines, saying they hacked into her email.
Didn't we determine yesterday that nobody really hacks into anything anymore?
No. She claims that Delta and a consulting firm hacked her computer intending to obtain files they hoped would discredit her and derail the passenger's Bill of Rights legislation.
It's because the system is afraid of her. It's the system that's out of order, Dawn.
So, Kate Haney, netball.
Okay. There you
we have established netball.
You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. The Rick Emerson Show is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Later on this hour, we have your entertainment news. This is Don Taylor.
A precocious dog has a wacky tale to tell.
Oh, see, you got to warn me when these things start.
Okay. Curiosity usually kills the cat, but this time it's a precocious pup with a tale to tell. A German shepherd named Rebel got his head stuck in a hole in an 18-inch wall in Southern California on Monday.
Wait, this is going to be one of those things where, like, the dog gets its head stuck in a wall and then it traps a D-wall of stone in a car, is it?
Not so far. They may have left that part out.
Okay.
If you want to see some adorable and bizarre pictures.
Yes, I do.
Go to rickemerson.com/pictures, visual aids for today, and you will find the pictures that I uploaded of Rebel with his head caught in the wall.
Awesome. Headed there now.
Riverside County Animal Rescue officers got the call, and Sergeant James Huffman provided the attached pictures. Officers pushed and pulled, and Rebel was free after about 30 minutes. He suffered some scrapes, but he's okay.
So what is the... I was looking at the picture here. How is it that his head came to be stuck in a wall?
I have no idea. I think the hole is bigger on his body side and smaller on the head side. And I think it's one of those things where he stuck his head through and just like his neck, the fur and
right.
the skin around his neck went through. And then they couldn't pull himself back through.
I guess that makes sense because the snout is, in other words, the head is sort of angled. It's like a sideways cone.
Yeah.
And it gets bigger. You know, it can go in, but it's harder to get back at it, you know, once it slips over your skull or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
Isn't that great?
Wow. Okay, seriously, no fooling. really, you owe it to yourself right now, whoever you are, to go to rickemerson.com/pictures. Go to visual aids for December 29th. And look at this picture of the dog with his head sticking out of a wall. Here's the great thing about this photo is that you know that somebody at some point walked by the other side. Because somebody, you know, on one side of the wall, somebody walked by and they would just see, like, the hindquarters of the dog, basically from the shoulders down there. And that must have looked strange.
Well, there is another picture. There's two pictures. Hopefully both are on there. There's
the head other one.
And then the body.
I mean, I see the
side.
One of the body, which must have looked strange. But it's like, but imagine being on the other side and you walk by and it's like, there's just a dog's head. And
yeah.
it looks like something that a guy would just have mounted, you know, on the wall of his dining room, you know, in like a Lovecraft story or something. And yet it's blinking and sort of, you know, barking, which I guess makes it more Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. Yeah, you can see that at rickemerson.com/pictures. That's visual aids for December 29th. Awesome. All right. Here is
And he looks
Don
so
Taylor.
Sad, too.
Well, wouldn't you? Because
I know.
I mean, the thing about dogs is, of course they look sad because most dogs are just deeply stupid. And so, I mean, they don't have... Like, the thing that doesn't happen to dogs... is the thing that happens to cats, which is the sort of shame. Dogs don't really feel a lot of shame. They sit around and they just lick their crotch all the time. How much shame could they possibly feel? Dogs, though, do feel a sort of like, I don't know how this happened. You know, and just sort of figuring like this
now
is...
Now my head's in a wall.
This is their lot in life. You know, it's like every now and again you'll see one of those stories about like a bear. And the bear will get, like, a picnic basket stuck on its head or something. Or it'll just, you know, or it'll, like, get a milk carton stuck around its snout and it can't get it out and just wanders around. I'm a sad bear, you know, and it's just got, like, a huge plastic thing. So, all right, here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Back in October, the Virginia fourth grade textbook, Our Virginia, Past and Present, was caught turning internet inaccuracies about black Confederate soldiers into schoolroom fact.
I'm sorry, what book is this?
This is a fourth grade textbook in the state of Virginia called Our Virginia, Past and Present.
All right. Okay.
Now, unsurprisingly, more mistakes have emerged from the Apocrypha, according to the Washington Post. After the October debacle, Virginia officials ordered historians to comb textbooks by Five Ponds Press for errors, and they've found them. For example, according to various texts by the publisher, the Confederacy had 12 states, not 11, and the U.S. joined World War I in 1916 rather than 1917. Scholars who reviewed the book submitted reams of mistakes to the Virginia Department of Education, which will consider the problem on January 10th.
They'll consider the problem. What is there to consider, actually?
A history professor involved in the review said, I absolutely could not believe the number of mistakes, wrong dates and wrong facts everywhere. How in the world did these books get approved?
Well, I think the answer is Virginia.
Yeah, in Virginia, textbooks are approved by a panel, often composed of elementary school teachers, that checks that the books touch upon certain themes. All of the Five Ponds Press textbooks were written by non-historian Joy Masoff, whose scholarly oeuvre includes Oh Yuck, the Encyclopedia of Everything Nasty.
Okay.
Some school officials said cost trumped other considerations. A social studies supervisor in Virginia said their product is substantially less expensive than the committee's next highest rated competitor. Very appealing in these lean economic times.
And it has the words "Don't Panic" written in large, friendly letters on the cover.
Also, it is slightly cheaper.
I forget exactly where this took place. This might have been in Spokane, because I think that most of these stories take place in Spokane. But there was a story not too long ago about something like this, where they had discovered a bunch of factual inaccuracies in a history book. And then there was some sort of debate about what, you know, how they were going to handle it. And it turned out that when it came to putting together history books in this, and I do believe this was somewhere in Spokane, which I forget what county that is. It's not King County, but whatever. It might be Benton County. But it turned out that whenever there was some sort of a dispute about this, that the school board would actually just stay it together. And by the way, the school board, which required in no way that you had like any sort of a background in history or in any of the subjects that you were sort of having an impact on, they would get together and they would just vote on what the content of the textbooks was going to be, which is not unlike, incidentally, a textbook in, I believe, Texas about 5 years ago, where they were teaching that pi was 3.15. Because they just decided to round up, and unless I'm...
They just decided to round up.
I swear to God, they just decided to round pi because they decided that it was too confusing. Because they felt that the whole thing was just too puzzling. And by the way, I guess it was to round it down. They just said that pi was 3.14, like, period. Like, that was it. That was the end. And there was no mention made anywhere in the textbook that it repeated, like, infinitely, to the best of our knowledge. Because they felt that it was just a... it was a troublesome concept that might confuse people. So if you were to read this Texas school, which is probably unchanged, like, as of now, because, again, there was this whole debate about it, and the school board actually took a vote on... I swear to God, the school board took a vote on whether or not pi was, in fact, just 3.14. And they went... well,
sure.
5-0. I vote carries. Pi is 3.14. And then meanwhile, just wormholes opened everywhere in the universe and Carl Sagan's corpse exploded in a coffin.
And these sex education textbooks, you know, the whole thing with the ovaries and the eggs and the sperm, way too difficult, way too complicated. Let's just go with the stork thing.
Yeah.
Just go with the stork. Who votes stork?
I got to try to find that somewhere. I'll see if I can dig that up.
Here's
Don hilarious. Taylor at the news desk.
The founder of WikiLeaks has signed a $1 million book deal. Julian Assange, who is being punished by being forced to live in a castle away from everyone, tells London's Sunday Times he'll use the money for legal fees and to keep his website up and running. Constitutional lawyer Glenn Greenwald, a contributor to Salon.com, disputes the idea that Assange is just trying to profit from publishing classified information.
The legal fees that he's facing already amount to $200,000. And it's certain that his legal fees will continue to skyrocket. He's clearly the leading target of governments around the world.
All right, here's what I continue to not understand this.
Okay.
That this is like the whole thing about how we were somehow able to turn off the WikiLeaks website, although occasionally now I just go online to see if I can access it. And of course I can't. But the government was claiming that they couldn't turn it off at the source, even though it seems like we can just turn off anything anywhere on the net, which is how they take down like file sharing websites and whatnot. Also, that they apparently, you know, the U.S. government still wants the guy, like they want him over here for trial.
Yeah.
But we apparently have no way, no mechanism to find him or no way to get him here. And yet he's got a book deal, which means that somebody showed up and said, look, sign right here and your advance will be in the mail. And then this is your recoupables section here. Now let's talk merchandising. I mean, there was somebody who was able to sit down and actually get
him.
Well,
they know where he is. I mean, isn't he under house arrest in Switzerland at like some chateau?
So they say. But I mean, it seems like if we're all that bent on just having him back. In other words, if he really has committed the greatest act of American espionage, like, why would we not just be over going like you? Like, get in the car. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, yeah. It just seems like something is not sort of adding up. Either we're really not that serious about getting him back here, or we really don't know where he is, or we really are in some way, like, powerless to go get him for reasons that we don't want to talk about. Because we've never really had a problem just going snatching people off the street.
Yeah.
So, all right, just it's confusing.
Greenwald says Assange has enormous legal bills.
What this is a way for him to survive the legal onslaught that governments are launching.
All right, well, so there you go.
An Oklahoma man who says he routinely held a gun to his wife's head during role-playing sex now faces murder charges after the gun went off and killed her. 23-year-old Arthur Sadil told police he would often put a handgun to his 50-year-old wife Rebecca's head during fantasy sex play. I repeat, 23-year-old Arthur Sadil would put a gun to his 50-year-old wife's head.
Now, what part of this story do you find odd?
What part don't I find odd?
See, when you go back and you repeat something like that, I know that that is a tell that there's something in the story that you find interesting, tantalizing, perverse, or just plain puzzling.
Well, first of all, there's the whole holding a loaded gun to the wife's head during sex.
Oh, please, don't act like you don't find it hot.
Then there's she's 50 and he's 23.
Well, good for her.
Sadil said
well done, sister.
Sadil said he didn't, well, not anymore.
Well, she's not dead, is she?
Oh, yeah, she's dead.
I thought it didn't sound like she was actually dead. It just sounded like she was mostly dead in the beginning.
No, the gun went off and killed her.
Well, you know, there's no risk, there's no allure.
Sadil said he didn't know the gun was loaded when he held it to his wife's head on December 21st at their home in Oklahoma City. He called 911 immediately after the gun went off, but authorities said nothing could be done when paramedics arrived because she had been killed instantly by the bullet.
Do we have independent confirmation from anybody that they actually, that they did the role-playing with the loaded gun? Not that it's, like, out of the question or anything, because it's certainly not.
Well, he says he routinely held a gun to her head while they were role-playing sex.
You know,
so, you know, he might be just making that up, but...
Because that's, you know, that's what What's-His-Name did on The Sopranos. That's what Joey Pants did, the Janice, Tony Soprano's sister.
That's right.
Yeah, no, he would be, you know, they'd be having the sex, and then he would have the he'd have the gun to her head, and it was a loaded gun, by the way, which is how at one point she was able to get away from him and hold the gun on him in the kitchen. After that really disturbing scene where she, I think she was like rogering him in some aggressive way with a marital aid. So, you got to imagine that happens. It's not like the writer just made that up.
There are people who play with knives and stuff. But
and again, I repeat, let's not pretend like you don't find that alluring in some way. Not the death part, but the loaded gun part.
Me? No, really, I don't.
I'm not saying you want it done to you, but I'm saying you find...
I find it kind of fascinating intellectually, but I don't find it hot in any way.
I'm not saying that you want it done, but I'm saying you find the concept of it hot. I can tell. I know you.
You do.
This? No.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Don. There's no getting around it.
I will admit to a certain amount of perversity, but loaded. I draw the line at loaded guns.
I bet if we took a poll of the audience right now, I bet if we polled 100 listeners and said, do you imagine that Don Taylor finds this sexy in some theoretical way? That probably 98% of people would say yes. And often, we notice things about other people that those people cannot admit about themselves. That's all I'm saying.
I think this might be your little fantasy issue more than mine. I mean, you seem to be sort of projecting something here that's a little disturbing.
Rick Emerson has no problem embracing his inner self.
Southern California is already soaked from 5 days of rain a week ago, and the region is getting more today. Bob Spencer with Los Angeles County Public Works Department explains which areas they're monitoring for potential mudslides.
All of the foothills below the Angeles National Forest are certainly within range of the 2009 station fire. But we also watch other areas in L.A. County, particularly Rancho Palos Verdes,
you know,
down on the coast, and Malibu.
That is not a Los Angeles accent.
No, and it was one of those things where I could never quite tell when he's done. When you're in California, it must just... Being a news reporter in California, you must have like five stories that you just rotate throughout the year. You got your wildfire story, you got your mudslide story, you got your it's unexpectedly cold story.
Your earthquake story.
Yeah, and then, boy, it sure is hot story. Keep your old people inside.
And then on the B team, you've got the celebrity murders his spouse.
Exactly. Hey, did they ever figure out who killed, what's her name outside of Chasen's restaurant?
I don't know. I haven't.
There was that publicist.
The publicist.
It was odd. It was like a weird thing that she just came out of the blue, where she was killed execution style, and there was like no follow up on it. Randy Quaid was right.
Spencer says there have been no major issues yet, but rescue crews are prepared for anything.
We do have patrols out. We're watching our facilities very closely. We're making sure that residents in the county stay clear of the flood control channels. We don't need any more swift water rescues.
What is that accent? It almost sounds Australian, but not quite.
If it's not Australian, it could be South African, because the South African accent actually sounds kind of weirdly almost Australian sometimes.
That's possible. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, the Rick Emerson Show will be beaming to 147 countries around planet Earth. Today we'll also be talking to Kelly Clark from Willamette Week. Don't forget, coming up this afternoon at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, Don Taylor will be here at Cascadia.fm with another installment of Ham Fisted Radio. Mm-hmm. Is this your first Ham Fisted Radio since
no.
the whole whatnot with Patrick?
No, I was back last week.
All right.
This week, today, Mr. Fatboy Roberts and I will be joined by Eric D. Snyder, and we will be talking about the movies of 2010.
Excellent. So that is coming up today, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, here at Cascadia.fm. You can also find out more at hamfistedradio.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do a little science news.
Here is your science on the march for Wednesday, December 29th, 2010, right here at Legion of News.
If you go outdoors in frigid weather, bundling up is a must both for you and for your smartphone. Here's some ways to keep your mobile device safe from the dangers of extreme cold. Verizon Wireless warns cell phone users that they should keep their phones fully charged. Apparently, cold temperatures can run down the phone's battery charge more quickly. Use your car charger to keep the phone's charge if you get stranded or stuck in traffic on icy and snowy roads, and you should think about an extra battery as backup. Phones in frigid temperatures should also be handled with care. The display screen can become brittle when exposed to cold temperatures for long periods of time. Your mobile device should be kept in a warm place, preferably in an inside jacket pocket that holds in your body's heat. If you do need to use your touch-sensitive phone outside, it can be difficult to do so with your gloves on.
Thanks.
So, in addition to traditional finger flip gloves, the new trend on the market includes small discs called digits, which you pin to your glove fingers so you can tap at your iPhone touchscreen and other devices without removing your gloves.
All right, now here's a question, because I've always wondered about people with hooks and how they use iPhones. Because, now, does an iPhone require, is it just touch, or is it that thing where it requires some sort of circuit-closing material?
I think that might be the case, because the digits things are mini pins made of conductive silicone. So
right
I think
now.
You do need something that's conductive.
Yeah, because my pen doesn't work.
Right.
So there you go. Because I guess that's to avoid accidental. Well, that's actually to reduce the chances of pocket dialing or pocket whatevering. So, I guess I'll be sure to take an extra battery for my iPhone with me. Oh, I guess not. Damn you, Steve Jobs.
There's also a new app called Nose Dial for your iPhone, which is 99 cents, and you can adjust the size of the buttons to match your nose size so you can dial the iPhone with your nose.
Or your big fat American fingers. Let's just call that what it is. That's like that extra huge remote control of that phone you have to buy for your grandmother. Also, I have had this happen on occasion. I couldn't figure out why. This was not with my iPhone, but when I had my last MP3 player, which I did love, which is not unlike my BlackBerry in that I loved it dearly. It served me well for many, many years. I looked for reasons to stay with it, but it was it is a technology whose time has passed. It was the Creative Zen, which was just a great little audio player. But, you know, back when I was, what do you call it? There was a word for it. Two wheels. Bicycling.
Oh,
and I would do this thing of bicycling to work and home, and it was really, really cold. And I don't know, maybe probably 3 out of 5 days in a week, the cold would actually just kill the thing. And I would actually have to get to work and just set it, and it would have to reach room temperature again, and then it would fire up. But the cold would actually just completely, it wouldn't just slow it down or make it go sketchy. It would just completely turn it off. Which is a weird thing because you're used to electronics just sort of working all the time, especially things with no moving parts. You just sort of take it as read that they are going to continue to operate regardless.
Yeah.
And the idea that it can just become chilly enough that, like, your phone stops working is a little unnerving.
Well, one way you can keep track of that on your Android, for example, there's a wallpaper app for Android users called How Cold Is It? And the app changes color depending on the temperature outside. And
should I hold my applause to the end here? Should I wait, or should I be making comments as we get? I don't even know how to... Okay, I don't even know where to begin with this. First of all, it's not like there aren't stupid iPhone apps. Clearly there are. I don't know whether the How Cold Is It app for the Android OS is... And I'm doing that thing of trying not to say Android about the phone when I really mean it about the OS, because I know they're not the same thing, and I'm going to sound like an old person. But I don't know how much that app costs. Maybe it's free. God, I hope so. Because here's the thing. If you're outside, you already know how cold it is.
Yeah.
If you're inside, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It turns red when it's hot and white when it's freezing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't
see how cold it is.
QED. Yeah. App pointless.
And then finally, this last year in South Korea, a company called the CJ Corporation reported a big jump in the sale of frozen sausages. And it turned out that people were buying them and carrying sausages around with them to use them as extensions for their fingers when it was cold and they needed to use their phones.
That can't possibly be true. Where is that? South Korea?
South Korea.
Well, all right.
People commuting and using their phones on, like, you know, the subways and the buses and standing around waiting for public
transport. Just picturing a whole lot of people taking sausages out of their pants.
Yeah, sausages.
Using it to dial the phone. That's awesome. So if you've got, well, that's interesting, actually, when you think about it. So if you are a person who is, if you're missing your hands, if you got prosthetics or something, mm-hmm. Well, I guess you're not screwed, though, because if you had a prosthetic, they would put the conductive material on the end of it.
Yeah, you get the silicone stuff or just spear a sausage on the hook.
Do you ever think about what it would be like to have the hook for the hand?
Weirdly enough, yes, I do. I think about that all the time.
Me too, actually. I think about it a lot. And it's like, and it would suck.
Yeah.
You know, but then on the other hand, here's the other thing about having a hook. Not only do I think about it a lot, but I don't know, it's one of those things that I feel like I somehow need to be prepared for. Like, I don't have any reason to believe I'm going to lose my hands. Who knows? Yeah. I might not. But it's not like I work in a sawmill or something. So there is no, logically speaking, really, if you look at the law of averages, there's no reason to believe that I'm going to end up handless at any point. And yet, not unlike how I would survive in prison, how I would operate my life with hooks into the hands is one of those skills that I feel like I need to be thinking about and honing now for reasons that I can't really explain.
Well, do you also think about the fact that we are in a unique position where we know people who have, like, talent and tools that they are, like, makers? So we know people who could make us, like, really cool extensions.
Seriously.
For our prosthetics.
I would full on, I would have Thomas Gill make some sort of a tasing / launchable batarang device that I could just, you know, and just be wrapping it around things and then fighting evildoers with it.
So exactly.
I should, you know, my, the thing is, you know, my father-in-law, he's got no legs. And so there's nearly nothing you can do with that, though. Because, you know, now and again, I've thought about suggesting to him that he gets some sort of bitchin' leg prosthetic. But it's like, unless it's going to be one of those rocket-powered things that lets you run really fast in the Olympics, like that guy from West Germany, there's really nothing he can do with his leg prosthetics.
Or a machine gun, like in Grindhouse. He could ride a motorcycle and shoot at guys.
I guess not a lot of call for that in Provo. I mean, there's really not much need to be machine-gunning people. Not in his assessment, anyway.
Mm. Okay.
All right, there you go.
The Food and Drug Administration has just approved a vaccine that helps protect against anal cancer in men and women by targeting the human papillomavirus. About 90% of anal cancers are believed to be caused by HPV, and the vaccination also helps prevent cancer of the cervix, vagina, vulva, penis, and throat, as well as the development of genital warts. The cancer vaccine is a genuine medical breakthrough, yet few people have received the HPV vaccine. Despite strong recommendations by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, only about 1 in 10 young adult American women have been vaccinated against HPV. According to a study published in the journal BMC Women's Health, fewer than one-third of women between 19 and 26 who had not gotten the vaccine thought it was important, and about as many had discussed it with their doctor. Almost half were ambivalent about getting the HPV vaccine. The study found that women had various reasons for not getting the vaccine, including being in a monogamous relationship, concern that the vaccine is unproven, and concern over side effects. Cost is also a significant impediment. The two vaccines, Gardasil and Cervarix, each cost about $120 per dose and require 3 doses. Health insurance companies may or may not cover the cost, but doctors note it's a relatively small price to pay compared to getting cancer.
Now, is this one of those? Now, is it a thing that the vaccine is for men as well as women?
Yes.
Because I've said this, I think this is the first time I've ever heard it used in a story as something men could get as well.
Yeah, there's been a real, real push to try. And because the thing is, for it to be effective, you actually need to get to get inoculated with it when you are a teenager.
Right.
And so there's been a real push to get women, basically women who have teenage daughters.
But then they might
That's
be having
the education
sex,
thing.
Dawn.
Well, it's not really that. It's the whole idea that, you know, they could get cervical cancer at some point, and if they get this in the future, they have considerably less risk of cervical cancer.
I wasn't speaking as me there. I know. Speaking as somebody who's concerned about the sex.
Yeah, but the push for Gardasil has been almost exclusively towards marketing to women of teenage daughters to get them to understand that they should inoculate their teenage daughters. And the thing is,
you know,
teenage boys as well, because It helps prevent cancer of the penis and the throat.
Wait, can I just tell you that this is another, you know, and you know, it doesn't really matter to me because I'm not a teenage boy any longer, as you might have noticed, but... You know, and nor am I just some, like, men's rights nutcase, but, you know, guys really do get screwed on this front, like, every single way. I mean, you know, we still basically have, like, a balloon to put on our penis. That's our birth control. Here you go. That's it. Done. Like, they, you know, the birth control that they came up with 1,200 years ago doesn't still count as an advancement. Make something else.
But also, oh, well, you have the, well, yeah.
That's
but
it.
On,
no,
on every other...
don't say that there's anything else, because there isn't. There's like 15 types of birth control for women. Men have a balloon
and a
on your penis. But that's not birth control. That's sterilization. They're two different things.
Okay.
So
right.
A hysterectomy isn't birth control either, and you know the difference.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, it just seems like that's one of those... That's just one of those things where science has just chosen to ignore, like facts and numbers and reality. Like with the big push to cure breast cancer, which is not the biggest killer even of women. So it's just, it's one of those things that perceptually, you know, seems to be more important, yet is not. And so therefore, there's like a huge push for it. But it, again, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not a teenage boy. I don't have kids. I'm not going to have a teenage son. But it, I mean, it just, it's weird that they've just been ignoring half the population with this for so long.
And also that, you know, 90% of certain kinds of cancers are believed to be caused by HPV. So
anybody
like,
would
know,
not have their daughter or son, you know, vaccinated is just retarded.
Yeah.
Seriously, why do we even make that optional?
I don't know.
It just seems like one of those things that, like, Jenny McCarthy's retarded natterings notwithstanding, like, your kid ought to just get it before it can go home. You know what I mean? Like, you can't take a dog home without it being vaccinated against, you know, rabies and stuff. Like, if you go to the shelter, don't they pretty much do all that stuff there?
Yeah.
Because, like, they don't want you just taking the dog home because then if it runs away, or you dump it or it just ends up getting away from you somehow. Or if you're just, like, a jackass and you don't get the thing vaccinated, then it could be a rabid dog and then blah, 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 back to D. Wallace Stone in the car. And so they just don't leave it up to you. Why? Because you're probably an idiot. And so it seems like, you know, cancer in humans might be a thing you want to just sort of vaccinate against.
I mean, I remember as a child basically being, you know, frog marched at gunpoint to go get vaccinations for measles and all kinds of things.
Right.
You know, and you were taken down to the health department and forced to stand in line with a bunch of other parents and kids. And they walked in, they went with this big air gun and they shot you in the arm and they kicked you back out because everybody had to get vaccinated.
Well, it's like we had to get inoculated against polio.
Yeah.
And polio, by the way, I'm not saying you'll want it, but I'm saying in most of the cases it doesn't even kill you. Like, what do you call it? Cancer does. So, all right.
The U.S. Trademark and Patent Office we'll worry.
This is the longest science segment on Earth.
Yes.
I'm not complaining.
We're
I'm
done
just
with
saying
science.
There's a bounty of science. Really?
I'm done with science for the moment.
All right. There's your
Goodbye,
science.
Science
on the March, brought today by Squires Electric. That is 503-252-1609. And that is how you can contact Squires Electric, 503-252-1609. You can also go to their website, which is SquiresElectric.com. That is SquiresElectric.com. They've been in Portland for 12 years. If it has to do with electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind, an office intercom system, for example, or perhaps some of that Cat 5 that the kids love these days, you can get that put in your house. You can get that put in your office. You can get it checked. You can get it expanded. You can get it updated. You can get it repaired. If you got smoke damage, water damage, fire damage, anything like that, or if you're just moving into a house that was built some time ago and you want to make sure that it's able to handle the electrical load and the you know, the broadband requirements of your home or of your company or of your family, they can make sure that that is all taken care of, and they're going to do it right the first time. You ever go home and you just plug something into a socket, it doesn't work? It's not the thing, it's the socket. The socket worked this morning, why isn't it working now? I don't know, it's a mystery. You know who it's not a mystery to? Squires Electric. Get them to come out there, they're going to fix it, they're going to fix it right the first time, and they're going to give you an estimate up front so you know about what it costs. 503-252-1609. Most importantly, friends and neighbors, you will have supported this program, Legion of News. 503-252-1609, that is Squires Electric, the round sponsors of Science on the March for Wednesday. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Police arrested a bloodied man inside the South Wharf Hilton Hotel in Melbourne, Australia, allegedly seen brandishing a tomahawk. More than 10 officers wearing bulletproof vests had entered the hotel this morning after 7 police cars and 2 special response units first descended on the scene about 7:30 a.m. About 11:30 a.m., police arrested a 45-year-old man inside the building who fit the description of a man who allegedly had earlier gone berserk with a tomahawk.
Who's the berserk? Is the berserk, are they quoting an officer there?
I don't know who they're quoting. It's in quotation marks, though. Had gone, somebody said berserk, and they quoted it.
That's awesome.
It's understood they tackled him they tracked him down to the hotel room in where he was staying, simultaneously entered three rooms during the arrest. Detective Inspector Bertie Edwards said the man had given himself up without a struggle, and the man's head wound had happened before the arrest. The man said nothing and appeared calm as he was loaded into a police van. He was heavily tattooed and wearing a black T-shirt. He had a minor wound to his head, which occurred before police arrived. Police were also speaking to a number of other males about an earlier fight in the city involving up to five men, which may have been related to the arrest.
All right.
He'd been a guest at the hotel, and the tomahawk had been recovered in the city.
Let me just ask you this. Let me back up. This head wound. When they say he had a head wound, so this was like a recent head wound, but not sustained during the arrest. So it wasn't like an injury that he had like a couple years earlier that made him all cranky, maybe.
No, they believe he had been involved in a brawl with several other people earlier in the day.
Okay.
And then...
Where do you get a tomahawk?
I don't know, but somebody called the police around 6:45 a.m. saying there was a man with a tomahawk who appeared quite angry and was who was attacking a car intersection.
By the way, just like gun beats iPhone, car beats tomahawk. How is a tomahawk distinct from a hatchet?
I'm
just picturing a stick tied to a sharp rock, which probably is not accurate.
It's probably the shape of the blade, and it has like feathers tied to it or something. Don't they? Every time you ever saw like a tomahawk in a movie.
And it's used in a proud way while crying.
It's used to scalp the white man.
I'm going to choose to believe that that is the, by the way, that is the official opinion of Cascadia.fm. That represents the views of all of our staff, management, and advertisers. That the difference between a tomahawk and a hatchet, tomahawk used to scalp whitey. That is a fact.
The man who called the police, by the way, his 911 call, or whatever they call it in Australia, he said, someone jumped out of the other side of this car. The guy's in the middle of the road with a tomahawk in his hand, black, bald-headed, blood all over his face, tattoos down his arms. I don't know what his plan is next.
That's great.
And then I heard some noise. I looked and this guy was out of the car like he was hitting the car, the guy in the car. They were just watching him, and then the big guy came out of the car, and the other guy started running away. The witness said he thought the man had a large stick or a pole.
Okay.
He was trying to scalp white people.
Life is awesome. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, we'll be talking to Ms. Kelly Clark, among other items of interest and amusement. That is at RickEmersonShow.com, where you can have an entire day's worth of entertainment for just 32 cents. That is one quarter, one nickel, two pennies. That is... the Rick Emerson Show at rickemersonshow.com. This, however, is Dawn Taylor.
It's time for entertainment news.
Is it ever? Here's your entertainment news for Wednesday, Legion of News.
Reese Witherspoon, 34, is engaged to her boyfriend of nearly 1 year, Agent Jim Toth, 40, according to Entertainment Weekly.
You say Agent Jim Toth. Is that like Ari Gold Agent, or is that like I'm Agent Jim Toth?
I think it's Ari Gold Agent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's less interesting.
They are reported to be extremely happy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Kelsey Grammer, 55, spoke to People magazine about his engagement to his girlfriend, Kate Walsh, 29.
Well done, Kelsey Grammer.
Saying, Kate and I are marrying because we are engaged, and we are engaged because we are in love, and see no reason to postpone our happiness any longer. We are planning something we wish to be a private affair among several of our friends. Anything else is conjecture and false. We are the only reliable source of the story. End of story.
It's like I saw a picture of George Wendt the other day, and he was, he was old and huge, and he was coming out of some restaurant somewhere. And I swear to God, he was with, like, some 23-year-old blonde chick. And I thought, you know, really, regardless of whatever, you know, like, whatever Lee Strasberg wants you to believe, that's really why you act right there. That's it. That's why you get a job in a TV show.
Oh, and by the way, Grammer is in the middle of a very costly divorce from his third wife, Camille, who stars on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They've been married for 13 years and have two children together. He also has two older daughters, Spencer Grammer and Greer Grammer. Spencer Grammer is a star of the TV show Greek, by the way. She's 27, which makes her 2 years younger than Kelsey Grammer's new wife.
Well, I mean, you know, but it's good to have somebody relatable in your family. They can bond. They can share
recipes.
I was going to say recipes and man landing tips, apparently.
Brett Favre has been fined $50,000 but not suspended for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy after the league's investigation into allegations he sent inappropriate messages and lewd photos to a former New York Jets game hostess.
Maybe if he doesn't send nude photos of himself in the future, President Obama can call to congratulate them for keeping him on the team.
I think that's a good
idea. Since he's staying to the straight and narrow.
Yeah, because, you know, he's... Yeah, they can. He was not suspended, so
that's
he
right.
still has his job.
Exactly.
So congratulations, Brett Favre. You are a hero and someone to be applauded.
That's what I'm saying.
The $50,000 punishment was for failing to cooperate in the investigation. It was announced Wednesday. He allegedly sent the messages and photos to Jen Sterger 2 years ago when they were both with the Jets. The allegations against the 41-year-old Minnesota Vikings quarterback surfaced in October on the website Deadspin. And in case you somehow have missed the story, they were pictures of his penis.
Do we know that it was Brett Favre's penis?
I think when you send, I don't know.
I mean,
when you send a picture and it basically is accompanied with a message going, hey, look, this is my penis. You're kind of operating on the assumption that it is the guy's actual penis.
I'm just saying it seems to me. This is occurring to me now because Brett Favre, for some reason, this story makes me think of Bill Clinton. I was just thinking about there was that whole thing during the Monica thing where they were, and I don't think I'm making this up. I think this is a thing that actually happened where Monica was claiming that they were distinguishing marks on Clinton's member. No, it was Paula Jones who said that, and that he was a bit of a lefty. That it had a sort of a hook, like you're in the U.S. Open. No, what's the golf thing? The Masters.
Yeah, U.S. Open is also golf.
I thought the U.S. Open was tennis.
Oh, maybe you're right.
This whole thing has been derailed, and I'm not going to make any Masters jokes. But she was claiming that Clinton's member had distinguishing features. And so, you know, blah, blah, blah. And fast forwarding to the Brett Favre thing, you figure if you're sending somebody pictures of your penis and your Brett Favre, you got to figure at some point those penis pictures are going to be shown to somebody else. So why not just, you know, skip to the bottom of the page, send pictures of somebody else's penis, because really, how are they going to know? And then pictures of your penis aren't floated. Then it's like you've that is the best of all worlds. And you could find a better penis, perhaps, one that is, you know, you feel that, like the penis you feel you ought to have been born with instead of the one you were born with.
But if you're basically showing this off as, like, please forgive me, perhaps a peacock, and the idea is to attract a mate because you're trying to show her what, like, a fine, fine member you have.
Yes.
Which seems to be what Brett Favre was doing.
Right.
Like, hey, you want some of this? You would show your actual penis because later she'll see the real thing and realize that that wasn't it.
I would say that but you noted that women don't especially cotton to pictures like that anyway and are not necessarily visual in that sense. So, I mean, really... It's not like she's gonna whip the phone out and hold it up side by side for a comparison. And look, let's be honest.
It's a terrible plan to begin with.
If she's gonna show up and F you because you're Brett Favre, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what your penis is. You could just have a thumb down there. It doesn't matter.
If she's gonna show up and F him because he's Brett Favre, he didn't have to send pictures of his penis to begin with.
That's probably true. All right.
Wasn't there a thing with Michael Jackson too when he was on trial that because of his alopecia he ostensibly had
vitiligo.
Because of the vitiligo he had a piebald weenie, and there was going to be some like trying to get him to whip it out so they could prove that
apparently he was all
did.
Speckly.
Yeah.
Let's quit talking
like
about
Pinto
this.
In Animal House. That's how he got his name.
It's exactly like Pinto in Animal House. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Natalie Mendoza, one of the lead actresses of Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, is negotiating an exit from the Broadway show, according to the New York Times, probably in fear of her life. Mendoza, who plays Arachne, a spider villainess created by the show's director, Julie Taymor, has not performed since December 20th. The production has explained her absence as a doctor-ordered vocal test, but hints that she was badly shaken by the fall her castmate and friend Christopher Tierney suffered on December 20th. Mendoza herself sustained a concussion during the November 28th performance when she was struck in the head by a rope holding equipment while she was standing off stage. Arachne, a role which involves slower speed flying sequences, is instrumental to the show's plot and delivers its title song and sings on five others. Representatives from Mendoza in the production have not confirmed her departure, but are said to be working on an official announcement.
You know, can we all agree, though, that if the show manages to roll out, you know, and have a successful opening and continues to play, that we will all want to see it at some point? I mean, every single one of us.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like, are they going to have road productions of this? Because
God, I hope so.
They can't even get this right and not hazardous, like, you know, it on Broadway. What happens when they send out, like, three different road shows and one comes rolling through Portland with Tom Wopat as Spider-Man and they just, like, throw it together at the schnitz. It's like, it's going to be just a death trap, a horrible death trap. Tom Wopat goes just plunging to his death.
Like you've gone right to Tom Wopat. Why Tom Wopat? Why not Gary Sandy?
It could very well be Gary Sandy. Because I can't even remember what the show was, but there was some show I really wanted to see. And it finally came rolling through Portland, and it was like the road production started with Tom Wopat. And I was like, really?
Here's the thing. I know exactly what you're talking about, too. And it was Tom Wopat, and it was...
And it was What's-Her-Name from Taxi, wasn't it?
It wasn't Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
No.
Because that was Gary Sandy, by the way. That came through Portland, and I'm like, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Awesome. Starring Gary Sandy. It's like, done. All right. I don't remember. I was like,
God, Portland sucks. Yeah. We get Tom Wopat and Gary Sandy. The producers came through, and when I saw the producers, honest to God, it wasn't even the two no-name guys that were starring in the road production. It was their understudies the night that I saw the producers.
So the guy who played Balky.
So.
All right. Okay. Is that our entertainment news then?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
There we go. There's your entertainment news for Wednesday. And so forth. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, Don Taylor can be heard this afternoon, 4 p.m., along with Mr. Bobby Fatboy Roberts as part of Ham Fisted Radio. Then this is afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific time at Cascadia.fm or at hamfistedradio.com. Coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, the Rick Emerson Radio program. We'll feature today Ms. Kelly Clark from Willamette Week, among other things. Here is Don Taylor.
Spanish police have detained a woman who faked her own kidnapping to test whether her husband would pay a ransom, sending him a photograph of herself with bound hands and feet. The man received the photo on his mobile phone from someone claiming to be one of the kidnappers, along with a text message demanding a ransom of 20,000 euros for her release. The ransom request was repeated in later text messages, as well as warnings that the man not go to the police, which he ignored. Police launched a search and spotted her car, which they followed to a shopping mall in the town of Gandia on the Mediterranean coast. The woman, a police statement said, was traveling alone and was in perfect health. She was the supposed victim of the kidnapping. At first, she told police that she had been released that morning, but later confessed to faking her abduction to find out what her husband would be willing to do for her. In 2008, a Spanish court sentenced a woman to 3.5 years in prison after finding her guilty of extortion by faking her children's kidnapping 7 times. So the Spanish court is probably not going to go too easily.
I'm not
going to
look too kindly on her. No, no. Let's do one more here, and then we will pull the curtain down on this.
All right. A chairlift derailed in high winds on Maine's tallest ski mountain Tuesday, sending skiers plummeting as far as 30 feet to the slope below and injuring several people. The Sugarloaf Resort in Carabasset Valley, about 120 miles north of Portland, Maine, said in a news release that about 6 people were injured when 5 chairs fell an estimated 25 to 30 feet. The resort's ski patrol evacuated the rest of the ski lift. None of the injuries appeared to be life-threatening. All the injured were treated and taken to hospitals. About 220 people were on the lift at the time. One witness said he had heard a loud snapping noise, then screams. The next thing I know, it was bouncing up and down like a yo-yo, he said. Some skiers tumbled from their chairs. Another witness saw at least one person taken off the mountain in a gurney pulled by a snowmobile. A spokeswoman for Franklin Memorial Hospital said that one person was taken there and immediately to Maine Medical Center. At the time of the accident, high winds were buffeting Maine a day after a blizzard swept across the region.
I love any story that contains a moment where the crowd suddenly begins to scream or where, onlookers suddenly gasped in horror. We should end with this snarky text message. It says, I feel compelled to defend the Spider-Man Broadway crew, but I don't have the energy to explain it to you people. All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. God bless you. This has been another exciting episode of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, we'll be back again tomorrow at 12 p.m. This afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Don Taylor will be here as part of Ham Fisted Radio, along with her cohort, Mr. Bobby Fatboy Roberts. That is 4 p.m. Pacific time, or you can hear it at hamfistedradio.com. You can also get this program via iTunes later on today, or as a direct MP3 download here, or at legionofnews.com. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemerson.com, and find out more about that by going to rickemerson.com or rickemersonshow.com. We come to your ears each and every weekday from noon until 1 p.m. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. Thank you for listening. We will see you again tomorrow. This has been Legion of News. Have a satisfying Wednesday, won't you?